there, Vault Dwellers. Follow us as we take a topic from the Fallout universe and discuss it in a group of diverse individuals. We are the Fallout Roundtable. Join us. The conversation has already started. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Fallout Roundtable. I'll be partially your host, at least for a few minutes, until I pass it over to Sassy. And you can catch all of us on our like YouTube stuff and all that happy horror stuff if you go to the Fallout Roundtable, or you can send us an email at falloutrtb@gmail.com, or you can catch us on Twitter at falloutrtb. Yeah, and stuff. Okay, cool. All right. So today, guess what? We're going to be talking to... We're going to be talking to Zach Finrock, dude. Like,
yes.
Close. Finfrock. You almost said
Finfrock. Did I say Finrock? I did, huh?
Finrock.
That is,
like
that is the most
It's a Fraggle Rock thing. It just gets stuck in my head, dude.
Like you're converting into a Flintstone.
Pronunciation,
for sure. Finfrock.
Finfrock. Yeah,
that's also adding an extra R, just like that. Finfrock is also the other one. Yeah, you nailed them already. You got it all.
See,
like
I screwed everything
our friend,
up.
Zach,
I told you I'd mess it up.
Did one job, Jeff. One job.
It's all good.
It's all good. I'm used to it.
As you have gathered, our special guest this evening is Zach Finfrock, the creator and brilliant mind of Fallout Nuka Break.
Right there. Says it. Nuka Break. Over my shoulder.
Nuka Break. Have a break today. If you have not seen this very original fan-made film, I guess I would call it, or would you call it a web series? Yeah.
The whole thing comes to about a 2.5 to almost 3 hour film in the end. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's an easy watch. I rewatched it the other day and was just like, oh my gosh, it's over already. You know,
yeah, it's real quick.
Yeah. But it's great and it's packed.
It wasn't quick to make.
So it was awesome.
I'm sure it was not quick to make. I'm sure it was not at all. Nor quick to edit, I'm sure, but it's everything Fallout is. It's humorous. You've got, you know, the wasteland. You've got Nuka-Cola. You have a vault dweller. You have a ghoul. You have everything. And
Legion members.
He just manages to do it all. And it's not dorky.
And we did it a decade. We did it a decade ago. A decade before.
Exactly. And it still holds up.
The pros
I mean, this show is like... Almost, it's like 12 years old.
I have to say, your ghoul looks.
That was awesome.
Your ghoul looks better
there,
than.
There were a couple of them.
No, that's
I
the
understand
thing,
why
is,
Walden
yeah.
Goggins, you know,
Jackson has
it's
always said that your ghoul looks better.
Right. I mean, it's clear the TV show's ghouls, all of them, not just the ghoul, not just Cooper, but like all the ghouls have a different take on the whole zombie decay person. They're more like. It's more about like how the eyes are sunken in and like you can see the skeleton
and the
like cheekbones than it was how in the games it was more like the flesh decay was way more prominent than like the bone structures.
Especially
so,
in
parts falling
Vegas,
off, you know?
Yeah.
Like, right. Yeah. And then for our very specifically for our series, we only had Fallout 3 and New Vegas to fall on when it came to the visuals of how the ghouls look. So Fallout 4 wasn't a thing when we made our stuff. So we didn't have even that next version of ghouls like they did in those, obviously the newer game. So we very specifically sculpted the masks for the web series, like with cast and, you know, we did the whole thing. It was all plastic, like actual different appliances. And they, you know, it took 2-3 hours to put on every day for that stuff for both of the ghouls, for Ben and for Larry. We did. I actually sculpted Larry's mask, and then Rallis Khan, who did the makeup, sculpted Ben's mask. And so, yeah, I guess that's one thing I don't really talk about. I sculpted that whole mask. That's me.
That's awesome. Wow!
But it's all based
on
the ghouls from the 3 in New Vegas. So we very specifically followed how they in those two games did the like. It's really, really down here. It's like how the mouth has like the way that the skin is very specifically. And then the way the like skull slash type of stuff might show up on the forehead is very specific to that game. And I personally like the TV show version too. I really do. I think it to me is more realistic in how a body can shrivel and kind of die.
More like death.
Nose blow off and everything, yeah.
Right. And in the end, I think what ends up happening with how the TV show did it is it resembles more traditional zombies. Mm-hmm. Whereas the ghouls in the games, I think personally, that the devs always wanted to have that not be the case. They always wanted their ghouls to look
different.
I guess not, it's trying to be a zombie without being a zombie. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's kind of, well, that's kind of the way I feel like they want a very distinct, because everybody's always like, well, you don't have zombies in Fallout. And it's like, kind of, but
I mean, feral ghouls are just that. They're zombies in the end.
Yeah,
right. You know? I mean, their we mind do, is gone. But they're not.
I just like the element of the skin decay, like the, like part like of fall off.
Falling off, yeah.
Right. Oh, crap.
Yeah, that whole falling off aspect.
Yeah, and honestly, I like the expanded lore the TV show has done on the ghouls.
Yeah.
Both with how sure. he... I mean, obviously, full spoilers. I'm going to go into like small details of the show.
I mean, it's
I
just been a while.
Throw that there first. It's and I'm assuming enough. Everyone who's watching this next week or something like that will have by then seen everything.
I would hope. It'll like, been 2 weeks by then. So
exactly. Yeah.
What's your excuse?
So like how he uses Lucy's finger mm-hmm. and yeah. heals. And essentially, he's just like, okay, that's how ghouls work. He just yeah, is like, it's there. Also, the non-feral juice. I don't know what we call it. The whatever that chemical is,
the, yeah, right. the medicine, yeah,
yeah, that's obviously newer.
They didn't name it.
He just calls them vials.
Is it just Radaway to keep them from getting
so.
Too eaten up?
No,
I don't know.
I think they would
be that simple.
They would have said Radaway, honestly.
It wouldn't be that
big
difficult.
It is as an in-game thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's true. It had to be hard.
It had more.
And of course, I don't think it's like whatever's in the vial has to be different than what was in the IV that they were keeping him. Underground.
It gave him a level of euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah.
There, it can't be Radaway. I mean, Radaway.
No, but they had the little IV bags hooked up.
That and the two dudes that were sitting on the couch looked like they were pretty lit on that stuff themselves.
Right. Yeah.
Well, know? They had what's everything, though, to be fair.
And he was taking everything.
Was like a,
you know,
yeah.
He was also giving it to his friend, and his friend ran out.
Yeah. So. Oh, also, well, to me, it seemed like you brought the IV bags when he was buried.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? That seems unclear to me personally. I'm just nitpicking at this point. Was it Rad-X or Radaway, or is it the vial stuff that he's just getting over time? Like, it was a little.
Maybe it was
confusing.
A little bit of juice to kind of get him kicking because
that's
he's
what I mean.
Been
who
underground
knows?
For so
but
long.
But the ghoul right. that's turning asks, "Do you have any vials?" So it
right.
has to
yeah,
be
yeah,
that.
Do you have any
it's
more?
A,
and
it's a thing. Exactly. It's yeah. a thing they're aware of.
It has to be that they have found slows down the process, whatever drug it is. I'm sure it's some kind of experimental thing because obviously it has to be.
Todd, you
got to
let us know, man, because you said everything's canon. So, you know.
But that's right. always been kind of a mystery
I'm sure
whether
it
or not.
It will be all revealed to us at some point in time because we're still going to see probably his past. We're probably going to see his origin stories.
You know what I will say?
We know there's season two now.
Exactly. Just announced today, right? Official?
Hmm?
Officially. But, I think they'd already announced it, but it was like official.
Kind of.
Season two, yeah. But so I will say that before, I do want to shift away from talking about, because I could talk about the TV show forever, but I
well,
know
I didn't right. necessarily want you on here to talk about the TV show because.
Exactly. No, I
this is about you and
but
your project.
Then we can use this as a shift towards.
If we want to make
a bunch of Fallout nerds, you can't not do this.
Of course,
I know.
Of course.
And yeah. we can make comparisons.
And I've got a lore
fine,
podcast. So.
But this
well,
is
I can
not.
Talk about lore all day.
Like, Eric and I already, we already did that.
Oh, yeah.
You've
already discussed it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we've discussed episode one to death.
Gotcha.
And we exactly. took it. We took over an hour to
we
do that.
We picked
so.
It apart. Yeah. We picked it clean. Those bones are clean.
Exactly. So, well, here's what I'll do. I'll do one more comparison, and that will lead us back to my stuff.
Okay.
Something that I noticed in the show that they did, that is also something that we did in Nuka Break, specifically the web series. Is obviously the greater conversation around a feral ghoul or a ghoul going feral. And for Ben, very specifically, starting to go feral in season two, James, the ranger, he comments, he says his name, and he says, that's how you remember, that's how
I
you stay sane, is you say, you repeat your name over and over. You remember who you are.
Right.
And that's literally what the ghouls are doing in the TV show to
you see
not
it with
turn
Martha
feral,
first.
Is, I'm Roger.
Yeah.
I'm Roger. My name's Roger. Uh-huh. Like he's just repeating his name over and over again. So
and you
when,
see it with Martha
that,
in the freezer.
I was like, Okay, we said that first. We said that that's how.
I know, and I wonder. I wanna like grab Jonah and say, dude, you got that from them, didn't you?
There's no world that exists where they're not aware of Nuka Break. I know how productions work, and I know that the moment you get a license that is as big as Fallout, mm-hmm. you have your team, your writers, your whoever,
you dig into
scour
everything.
The internet for yep. every major thing related to that property, because the last thing you want is your story to be claimed that you're taking elements or stealing story from someone else, right. especially a fan thing.
So exactly. there has to be an online petition to get you on the show. Because I've been saying it since a moment ago. I'm like, dude, he's got to be on that show. Like,
I need to run into Twig somewhere.
Here's the thing. That would be incredible. I have never ever assumed or expected any of my stuff to be taken from, you know, from what it is as a fan thing and put into the actual lore. As much as I try to stay as friendly and canon to the universe as I can, I know in the end it's always going to be a fan thing. It's always going to be, you know, it'll be headcanon for a lot of people, which is
yeah,
amazing.
But it wouldn't
a
be too hard for them to put you in there as a bit part.
Honestly,
you know what I mean?
Wouldn't it be hilarious? So this is what I see. Lucy, right. who thinks she's the first vault dweller to ever leave her vault ever, runs into Twig and he's like, I've been out for years. Yeah.
The implications of that as a TV show, like for in general, and how that would mess with not just the viewers of the TV show who have no idea what both the video game are in real life or fan yeah. films or anything like that. They'd be yeah. like, who the fuck is this guy coming out of nowhere? But then everyone else would be like, mind blown. Like,
we would all be just like, oh, you see, and Eric and I talked about that earlier because mm-hmm. we were like, okay, like, you know, there were certain things that were in
I'd
there.
Make,
that, like,
make him a shop owner or something. You know, like, well, hey, would you like to buy my wares?
If I'm like ever,
you notice nothing, but like the fans are going to be like, oh my God, do you realize?
I truly mean this genuinely. If I'm involved in any way, truly in any capacity, as a background person who is, right. you just see me in one frame as
just somebody walking around Philly.
I would be ecstatic. I would be obviously elated at that. In the
That'd
end.
Be such
I
a nugget, dude. I'd be like, we know that guy.
Right? And, that would be so, cool.
I'm never, you know, I've never felt like I've ever been in a position where I should expect anything other than truly no involvement, because I also believe that there probably is a memo somewhere that says he can't be involved because that would implicate everything they've done would be true to yeah. and related, and it could complicate something. So I'm like, I get it. I get
Do you
that.
You think it'd be that petty?
Here's where I think they could say yes, but without my involvement, is simply showing Vault 10's experiment is Nuka-Cola. The moment they canonize that,
like, right, what was the experiment at Vault 10? Yeah.
Vault 10's experiment, I mean, the original fan film spells it out in a fun little animation.
Yeah.
And truthfully, it was an in-universe explanation for me, an overweight person, to be in a wasteland to make it make sense. Because yeah. I know Fallout, and I know the character models in the Fallout games back then especially. There's a single body type for both male and female. There's nothing in between. So I know how the internet is. I know how people can't... Oh. accept yeah. certain things, can't look past certain things. They have to be like, well, no, I liked it, except that I couldn't believe yeah. this fat guy would be in
like
it.
How
so,
real
like,
you know, yeah, yeah it's like well, it's like land and he's not a, you know, a starving little waif.
Exactly.
Yeah, they were identifying Twig by the fat vault dweller, and I'm like, okay, we get it, guys.
Yeah. So the idea that, you know, the experiment for Vault 10, the one of the vaults that the games and now TV show have still yet to do anything with. So far it can work in the end. The experiment was simply replacing all liquid besides water with Nuka-Cola. And then
not
having
sarsaparilla.
Well, yeah, just
no, that's
it was
not
essentially,
his brand.
And now, honestly, it's just even better within the overall lore of the game now, because now we know Vault-Tec had a conversation with everybody, all the other bigwigs, And one of those bigwigs, I believe, when it comes to who owns what, is an owner of the Nuka-Cola. So the idea that they would go, well, let's do one of our experiments is a Nuka-Cola, you know, thing. It now technically fits within their universe. In fact, truthfully, and I'll be honest, this is the first time I've talked about this. When I watched that scene in the TV show, when all of them were starting to, they were starting to throw out vault experiments.
Right.
My heart was like, because I was like, are they gonna say Vault 10, or we could do a Nuka-Cola one, you know, something like that.
Well, they didn't number the vaults, because of course they were just throwing their ideas around.
But that's what I mean. But even if one of them said we could fill one with Nuka-Cola, I feel like that would be enough of a fan service where it's like, but
for me, scene.
If there would be one connection that could be approved, but also has nothing to do with me, I feel like that would be it. Just essentially confirming what the vault experiment was. Oh, it also was removing exercise equipment from the vault. So the true thing was, how large will people get if all they're consuming is Nuka-Cola for their main drink? And then the whole thing is, it's been 200 years, multiple generations have gone by in this vault, each generation getting bigger and bigger. So then by Twig's life, which is 2280, because it takes place a year before New Vegas. That's all of Fallout Nuka Break takes place 1 year before the events of New Vegas. So if, you know, he's in that in his 20s and, you know, he's whatever, seventh generation since that vault got closed, everyone in the vault is literally obese, are all very large. And Twig, being the smallest in the vault, got the nickname Twig. And hence now present, you know, out in the wasteland, that's what he knows, even though he is now bigger than everyone else. So, but, you know, and now the joke is that I'm getting in comments is Twig looking like a real Twig and things like that. Because, you know, obviously I lost weight as a person over time.
How dare you?
But yeah, it was cool. Like, they also kind of replaced Simpax for him in a way.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we made it lore in the Nuka Break world that Twig has, Iron Gut. Yeah, that's it.
Lead belly.
Because that's the perk for not having the radiation when you drink
radiation,
things.
Right.
And he has the lead belly perk in that context where he doesn't get affected by it anymore. Mm-hmm. As well as that I think it's the Nuka-Cola. There's one of the Nuka-Cola perks where you're like Nuka-Cola addict or something like that,
where essentially it heals you.
It not only does it heal you, but it does like all of the bonuses of them are like times two or something like that.
Right.
And we made it where, and then, you know, Penelope in season two essentially tells him it's lit, like being born into it and, you know, having it your whole life, it has literally changed your DNA. And then we even teased with the whole mutation concept back then. A little bit,
right,
without calling it a mutation,
without
because that's literally
that
what
yet.
It is. Twig is, I mean, he got shot in the shoulder, and 2 days later, the bullet holes healed.
Right.
So, you know, and that's because he was drinking Nuka-Cola still.
And the funny thing is when Penelope is like, "You're gonna be fine," and she's
and it's an IV,
you know, giving you an IV infusion of Nuka-Cola.
But no one comments on the fact that the IV has a bunch of air pockets in it, which would be
that's very bad.
Yeah, but it's the wasteland. Who cares? You know,
it's congealed.
Yeah. It's emergency medicine.
It healed him. He's good. Yeah. So now we get to see, you know, present day Twig. And I say present day as in 15 years later. I think I haven't put an actual date on the short film when it comes to when it takes place. But I think just for the sake of everything with the TV show and all that, you know, what's gone down, it takes place before the TV show, but only by like a year. It would be, you know, 2295 for this new short.
Okay.
But even then, that still is based on 2280 to now, 15 years of in-universe time has gone by. And so a lot can happen in 15 years.
So I had a question, you know, because you do observe lore and they've talked about how the TV show is lore.
Right.
Is that going to mess with anything that you've written or
yes,
your new?
It already is. Yeah. Okay. Actually, text truly not really. I lucked into the fact that what I wrote could technically still work. If anything, okay, helps their story in a way without, I mean, it's in the trailer that I released. I do have NCR soldiers in my short.
Right.
And the NCR soldiers are dressed like the NCR soldiers from New Vegas. They don't look like the NCR from the show, which seemed to be ragtag, missing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I and Twig and this story does not take place in Los Angeles at Griffith Observatory where they are in the show. So, and that's just, true. And we now know as of yesterday or the day before with Todd releasing and Todd and them sitting down with IGN and IGN having to like clarify things.
Right.
That yeah, they did say the NCR is in many different regions. They are all mm-hmm. over.
Right.
So the idea
well, they
that
got the whole Western Hemisphere at that mm-hmm. point, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And there's obviously going to be pockets. Same with the Brotherhood.
Exactly.
So there's so different pockets, different factions, if
right.
you will.
Factions right.
and
of factions.
If anything, the yeah. I don't want to necessarily bet on, you know, getting what's it called? Like not hate comments, but like
critics.
Hate on the show.
Right.
Because they like what I did. It, you know, they're like, oh
yeah,
the gotcha. Way you did NCR is exactly what we wanted from the show. This is so much better than the show and all this stuff. Like,
right.
I know that's going to happen because it already has with the comments on the trailer. I'm already mm-hmm. seeing like people saying it's going to be
can
better
like
simply
both guys.
Because.
It's okay.
Well, and yeah, here's
exactly.
the way
we can have both.
I'll throw it out here right now. The way I also represent the NCR, I don't know if they're going to like it. I also kind of make a goof out of it. So I'm throwing it out there. It'll be a good goof, one that I'm not going to spoil for why it's a good goof, but I hope people will like it.
Cool. I'm going to have to take off, but it was very nice meeting you, Zach. And I'm very definitely looking forward to breaking and keep doing what you're doing, man. It's awesome.
Thank you very much, man. It was great meeting you.
Yeah, me too. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
See you later, Eric. So yeah, I've got that. That was one question I had.
I'm just looking at the chat right here. Twig lost weight and I found it. I'm sorry, Warpath. That sucks.
I found it. Oh, man.
That sounds like Warpath's comedy.
Yeah, Warpath is pretty. He is our comedian. Twig's luck was a 10. That is true.
That is actually the only stat that I have openly confirmed. Because
I was
going to
say, what is his special?
his luck has always been, as far as I'm concerned, the highest stat out of all of them. If the original fan film, his luck was a 6 or a 7, mm-hmm. then the web series, it went up to a 9 by the end of it.
Yeah.
And then now he's been at a 10 or higher, you know, based on whatever.
It's your clothing
game system you want to follow, because I know some of them go above 10, some of them don't.
You seem like your confidence and your charisma has gone up as well because of
across the board. Yeah,
did his intelligence go up at all? Yeah. Because I just remember
I wasn't going. Was there, it, man.
What's the scene where he's like, "Oh, he's stealing"?
Yeah, it's more well that to me that's a perception check, and his perception might not have been very high at that.
Well, when you sit down and you say, yeah. I can't remember the exact line, but you were saying something in reference to, "So let's start over again, or let's begin.
Let's do it again."
Right. Yeah. Let's start over. Yeah, we're going to
start over.
You
can
see the different level of confidence and charisma in you at that point, and I'm like, okay, so this he's built some confidence. He's not the same kind of. You know, oh no, kind of person.
Yeah, well, I think the real difference is because he's always been charismatic. Like he's always had a high. I would say I always said that it was luck and then care and charisma whereas where it would go, and then everything else is lower than that. Essentially,
your confidence wasn't very high at the beginning, though.
Well,
it
it's
seems
more
like you
he
built
was,
into it.
It's to me, we always tried to play it as his naivete was more than everything else.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
while he could, he was still. In a way, charismatic or confident, it was the naive part that made it always seem like he was a little aloof, a little not necessarily truly understanding what's going on.
He didn't quite know what was going
and
on. So he was
by the
kind
end
of
the series, you know, he even comments that he did steal the, you know, stuff. And then he realizes he also isn't that necessarily that good of a fighter. So he should do other, he should use more knowledge than fighting and things like that. So it definitely, even through the web series, you do see some change. But there's definitely a, from level 20 to level 40 type of difference of how the character builds and changes.
Yeah,
I would say, truthfully, when I wrote the new short, he's still Twig. He's still goofy and like optimistic. He's just no longer naive. He has zero naivete. It's just gone now.
Yeah.
He's fully aware of how things work. He's fully aware of the dangers. He knows he can't trust people. He is now just he's a seasoned veteran of the wasteland, especially with the scars and everything that we do for the new look.
Right.
And he's Luke back in the Return of the Jedi.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a whole, it's a whole different vibe. But in a, yeah, I mean, really at surface level, it's more confidence for sure. But more so because in 15 years, he's still alive. He's seen a whole lot. And we even play into the idea of what happens when you're the luckiest person and that means, are you the last one that walks out of a room when everyone else dies? Do things happen? Do accidents happen where you see terrible stuff, but you continue on because you have better luck than everyone else? So there is like a kind of a question of, and that is also kind of why we have this. It's more of a solo journey because, you know, maybe at this point he's a little like, I've seen a lot happen that, you know, I'm the sole survivor. I'm the one who gets to walk away without a scratch. And
I was kind of going to,
it's easier on my own at that point.
Yeah. You know, I was going to ask if there was any return, you know, cast members.
There is. But not, I will confirm, and I've said this already in comments and things like that, that the main cast, when it comes to like the Ranger or Scar, especially Ben died in the series, so he wouldn't come back.
Obviously.
But no, the Ranger and Scar will not be returning in this. They both have definitely moved on from Fallout, which is totally fine. I have spoken to everybody, so it's not like I'm just doing this without talking. You know, they're not only are they aware, but we've spoken about it. Tybee is fine with just no longer doing that, and I get it. I mean, a lot of what we did for the second season, actually, the whole real core web series story about Scar and Leon and all of that was a story Tybee wanted to tell about Scar. Because truthfully, the Nuka break, you know, idea of him just looking for Nuka Cola, we did in the fan film. You know, his Twig story was accomplished by the end of the original fan film. So the idea of, you know, following through Scar's whole journey and that whole thing and the prophecy and all that weird stuff with Leon and his guys, that, you know, she had her story. It's told, you know, she's fine. It no longer have to do more. Plus, the way she was treated by general audience internet stuff, because she's a pretty girl in clothing that can be revealing during a thing, it's, I understand her not wanting to deal with that headache again, or any, you know, I get it. Especially now where, which really, it's really kind of interesting. It's like the type of comments we're seeing with the TV show and the misogynistic stuff and the like toxic stuff. We got a version of that with the fan film, but that was kind of like you're a fan film. Of course, you're going to get people who are going to give you their asshole opinions and you know, whatever. So,
right.
Apparently they're out there for anyone.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, for somebody like Tybee, I totally understand just genuinely not wanting to step back into that. I get that. And it's a shame for sure. But at the same time, you know, it also has been in real life about 15 years almost. So I get, just wanting to not do it. Cameron, on the other hand, who played James, they're brother and sister.
That's Cameron his brother. Yeah, that's his brother.
Yeah, they are brother and sister. Cameron he has a family. He has two kids. He lives across the country now. He no longer lives in Los Angeles.
He doesn't act anymore?
No, he does not. I think he might
still be doing... Because he had some decent roles at one point.
Oh, he's an incredible actor, but ultimately it just didn't pan out to how he wanted, and I get that. And he started life a family happens. And he's good. I mean, but he's also happy too. It's not like he's upset or anything like that. So, and then there's also Saoirse Giles, who was known as Erin Giles. She has now transitioned to Saoirse. Obviously, Ben is no longer alive. So obviously, as an actor, she wouldn't be returning either. So it's all, you know, in the end, I was able, again, I was able to get somebody to come back, but it won't be the main crew.
The main crew.
That's really a long-winded answer in the end.
Well, you know, and after, hey,
but it's always, that's a good
answer. I'm filling you guys in. It's got context. Yeah.
But after 15 years, I mean, it's likely that, you know, people have gone on to other things, exactly. And Twig's got new friends, and, you know, probably somebody wanted to go hither and yon, like, you know, see them leave at the end, and, right. You know, they're trying to find whatever the other girl's
was
name was.
Bonnie. Bonnie was her home. That's actually, what's really funny is that was her name in real life, too. We just, her character was her normal
That's
name.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll just keep that in.
Bonnie, finding her.
So, yeah, you're, you take her to go find her home, and who knows what develops after that. You know, maybe Scar just decides, I'm done. I want a home, too, or something. Exactly. You know? We don't know.
A lot. And the way we kind of ended with James, the ranger, it seemed like he was sort of going back off on his own. So, yeah.
But he was kind of keeping tabs on y'all too. But
Right.
You know.
So, well, it was more like now he's, in my head canon, he followed them around for a bit, the more of the guardian ranger that he was doing.
Just to make sure everybody's okay.
And then inevitably, you know, split over time just because, you know, they're fine. They're going to be fine.
And, you know, and he got what he was looking for. He had his closure.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. Yeah, he found his family, both actual family and new family. And now it's, you know, or same thing, truly same thing. Maybe now he settled down too. You know, he could have decided no more, don't need this anymore. You know,
yeah, he may have gone back to the woman in the shack and the daughter and said, hey, I'll, you know.
This looks like a good plan. Exactly. He could go back to where from Red Star. Exactly.
He could go back to that and say, you know, I kind of like the idea of just
every time I think of the Ranger and the Red Star stuff, I keep thinking of that Preston episode from the True Vault Escapades where it's got that character that's going after the Caps.
Right.
And it is the Merc, you know. That episode always comes back to me whenever I think of that whole thing.
We never really did anything more with the Caps. I always wanted to have one more of the Star Caps in the actual Nuka Break, but we just, I think there's a shot at some point of stuff on a table and there was going to be a Cap with a Star that it just gets like pushed off the side. Like no one gives a shit. but I think it just got cut in the end.
Like if you're not going to do anything with it, then it's kind of like,
It was more just going to be a random Easter egg.
Cause everybody's like, going to be like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're not doing anything. It's just there. Yeah. So,
How far are you into production right now?
So we have probably 90% of everything filmed. Tomorrow's day will be the last day of filming. And I say the last day of filming as in we've been postponing this shoot for various reasons, be it either weather or location or prop or whatever. We've had to postpone it since when we originally wanted to do this last day, which was back in March. So we're going out, we're actually going to be filming at Griffith Park, here in LA, which has the abandoned zoo, which is a bunch of dilapidated building and bars and cool stuff in the middle of a park. And it actually resembles a good chunk of the greener parts of the TV show. And not for nothing, even though my trailer is pretty much out in the wasteland for all the footage, that's only because we didn't film this day yet.
Where did you guys go for that kind of stuff? Was it like Joshua Tree or Calico?
Close. So we went out to the Yucca Valley, which is out towards Joshua Tree. And then we ended up filming in Wonder Valley, which is north of Joshua Tree, but still a good 3.5-4 hours out from LA.
There's a nice mountainous area that's called the Calico Ghost Town area.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there.
They got some nice areas up there. That'd be great for that kind of thing.
Oh, we
He's
tried.
In the Vegas area, so he knows all this stuff. I'm on the East Coast, so I know nothing.
Well, truthfully, I might reach out in the future for future stuff, because I'm always in need of knowing where the actual locations are. There's a difference between seeing photos of abandoned mines on Google and then trying to find them in real life are almost impossible sometimes.
Well, I know right where the Pioneer Saloon is, that's for sure.
Yes, oh, I've been there. Yeah. what I wanted to do, and what obviously you guys will see when the short is done, is show that I personally am a huge fan of what Fallout 4 and what Fallout 76 have shown, which is that the wasteland does not mean vegetation is gone. Between Fallout 3, which was very low grown vegetation, it was mostly just broken branches and dead trees for 85% of Fallout 3. Obviously, New Vegas is more of just an actual desert. So it does have plants, but they are just desert plants. Yes, there's a couple greener parts we know in New Vegas, depending on what mission you're doing or whatever. But for the most part, it still is just the Mojave Desert, which is exactly like what we've already filmed at and which you've seen in the trailer, which is just out in the desert. And the journey that we have Twig take in this new one, I wanted to show more variety. I wanted to show, just like Fallout 4 and 76, that there are plants that exist still. So the story was always to go from the desert into the greener type of spots, aka the Griffith Zoo or abandoned zoo that we're going to film in. And then venture into what you can see in the trailer is a warehouse type of location slash a fight scene type of thing. And then exit that back into the green forest and then exit back into the desert. So it all kind of like in and out, if you will, of that area. And it's definitely going to mix it up because that's nothing like any of the previous Fallout stuff I've done. It's always been the desert. So I'm happy to mix it up in this one too, for sure.
Then you're less hot, you're less dirty. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's definitely not as bad. But truthfully, filming in February like we did is perfect for the desert because it is either just too cold or fine. It's not too hot. It doesn't get too bad. It's, if anything, it might be too cold. That's really the one thing. But I'd rather be too cold than too hot because I can always put a couple layers on to warm up versus I can't take the costume off. No, so
And then people in makeup are probably like melting.
Well, I know makeup always, especially now with the appliances and stuff, it's different for the sweating for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, I know the heat had a major factor when we were shooting that commercial for the Pioneer event.
For the Pioneer Saloon.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet. I bet. Yeah. Honestly, I can remember our cameras overheating when filming Nuka Break out in the desert. Yeah.
Oh, just wow. Upset.
Like they just are too hot, they turn off.
We had issues with drones. Yeah, because we were using.
I've had that happen with mine.
We had drones too. So that was kind of causing some issues. Yeah.
Right.
Which, man, we don't get heat like that here. We just have humidity.
Well, it's not going to
melt
so,
steel.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
It melts steel. Ooh. Yuck. That's not fun.
It gets hot, man. It gets really, really hot.
Do you want to pop off for a break right quick right now? And then I think we're going to get Jessica Starr in here because she's nervous about interrupting. So
everybody go pee pee. Yeah.
Go ahead. We can take a break and then she can join in for the second half.
Not that the streamers are going to get a break, but
no, they don't get breaks. No breaks for you. But we're just doing this for the podcast part. So
sure.
So y'all, we'll be right back, even though we're not going anywhere.
Hi, welcome to Three Count Thoughts. Let me introduce the crew real quick.
Hi, I'm Maverick Stone.
I'm Romer.
And I'm Jaxus. Join us as we talk all things wrestling. Each week, we'll take a topic from the wrestling world, knock it around a bit, and then go over the week in wrestling from a strictly fan perspective. We can be found on all major podcast catchers. We can also be found at Three Count Thoughts on both YouTube and Twitter. Or you can send us an email using 3countthoughts@gmail.com. Okay, are you ready?
Ring the bell.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our little commercial moment there. We're going to get right back into it here. And Zach was just talking about some entertaining stuff that we weren't recording.
So I don't know. Do you want to talk about it again?
How about this? That was for the Twitch viewers. That was exclusive for the Twitch viewers.
That's exclusive
viewers.
Content.
Exactly. We were talking about the shish kebab. If anyone wants to go back to the VOD on Twitch.
There you go.
So one thing I noticed, we were talking when I first popped in about props and our setups and our rooms.
Yes.
I've noticed over the last several months, as you've done update videos and of course, you know, streaming on Twitch as you do, that your background has gotten more and more cluttered and more amazing stuff. Now, is a lot of that percentage of stuff you're actually using for the filming? Is it stuff you've made yourself? Yeah.
A lot of it is the props that I received from other people who have supported in the sense of letting me borrow some incredibly game accurate things. Yeah. But truthfully, it's because I have ADHD, so it's hard for me to organize, I guess is the
best
way to
put it.
Yeah. So this type of messiness is actually pretty, my girlfriend doesn't believe me, but pretty organized to me because I know where everything is.
Exactly.
But, you know, not just that, but really it's the chaos of being, you know, the director, a producer, the actor, the prop guy, like it's wearing all the hats, having every, it's going to happen. And so, yeah, I mean, after the short is done, which technically tomorrow is our last day filming, then I'm going to start wrapping things, putting things back in boxes, like getting ready to ship back out to who I borrowed from. And then everything that I'm keeping will just inevitably put up in a little bit better of a display, like an actual setup.
Where she tells you can.
Right.
I don't know, though. It looks very cool.
I mean, right. I will say this is definitely a little more set dressed for the call or when I stream, I definitely kind of move things around. So it like if I move a little bit, you'll start to see boxes and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's more like it's on purpose for sure.
Don't even still, talk about my mess. Like,
technically, there's just you can see it kind of right here. There's just a literal garbage can underneath the vault suit. So it's more, you know, I appreciate it, but it's chaos. It's all chaos for sure.
That vault suit looks so good. That's the one you're wearing for filming currently.
It does.
Oh, I have. What's funny is I do have a full green screen. I could technically zip up too if I needed to.
I'd rather see the vault suit.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this new vault suit because it turned out to be not just one of the best parts of the whole short film when it comes to the kind of the upgrade, if you will, to the newer stuff. But it ended up being it was made by Katie Kahn, who's actually Rallis's wife. She did work on the web series. So all of the newer costumes you see on the web series that and the updated look for all the main cast from the web series or from the original fan film to the web series was all Katie. She helped us make everything look a little bit cooler, a little bit more different. And that's how we started the evolution of Twig's outfit, where his sleeve disappeared and, you know, it's starting to get a little different in just generally how his look is. And this is essentially the inevitable, in my opinion, evolution of Twig from the end of the web series, which he's leaving with this, you know, new leather jacket that he does have the armor over the leather jacket. And so now kind of, in a way, I'm doing the same thing Fallout 4 did, which is retconning the visual style of the Fallout universe. Uh-huh. In the sense that they just updated it. They just made everything look better, you know? And that goes not just for like the Nuka-Cola bottle, where I will be using the newer bottle because that is the bottle in the universe, but also like the Nuka Breaker, which is technically an in-game weapon that does exist in the game. The original one, which is kind of hidden by some stuff right here, the original one has the old Coca-Cola-shaped bottle on it. And when I made this newer one, I updated the image of the bottle to match the lore-accurate version of the bottle now. And I'm just essentially going to say, imagine as if that's what it's been like the whole time. And same goes for his vault suit. It's still technically supposed to be the vault suit that he's been wearing since the very first fan film. And the evolution of how his suit got a little more tattered, he got stabbed through his abdomen, like all this stuff did happen to him in the web series and the fan or in the fan film in the web series. So that carries into this new vault suit. So even though it's updated and retconned to make it look like the actual vault suits from the universe, it still is also a 15-year age difference of how much more it has been tattered since then. So we just kind of, you know, evolved it even more, just a little bit. Hence, it's short now on both sleeves, as well as the fact that that's the same jacket from the costume from the season two. So this is the original jacket from 10 years ago, or 12 years ago. But the armor on top is obviously the newer armor from Fallout 4. So we essentially evolved the armor to also match the newer looking stuff. So we're
which
just
would make,
you know,
sense for somebody who has to go through it all.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just I want, and plus now I have like one of the most coolest game accurate cosplays that when I show up at a convention, it's both game accurate and original at the exact same time. So yeah, it's a win-win for me.
We would love to see you at a Good Springs event. I think that would be
awesome.
Oh,
I'm planning to go this year for sure.
Oh, really? It's, that would be great.
Yeah, there's no way I regret missing last year, but last year was before I am even doing all this new stuff. So,
if you find me, I'll introduce you to Steven, who's the owner of the bar, and he'd be loved to
I
meet you.
I think
this.
I'm already in some type of email chain at the moment talking about this next year.
Probably
I'm
with
not
Chip
sure
and everything.
Who.
Yeah.
It's just kind of all over the place.
There's like 900 people of us in those emails. Right,
exactly.
Clips,
and so, including TKS Mantis. I literally was just on the phone with him this morning talking about it. And he was like, "Who are you talking to? I can reach out." And I was like, "I'm going to be there regardless. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to I might not go all out," but he was like, "You should bring a table. You should bring a banner. Like, you could do autographs. It could be a whole thing." And I'm like, "Sure.
We can make that happen." Yeah. I mean,
I've been to conventions for Nuka Break in the past, and it was cool because people knew what it was. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling going
TKS
to a very specific
up, so.
Yeah, I'm saying,
these people
I feeling,
know.
I have a feeling going to this event would be like
everybody
not
will
a
know
single
exactly
person should be not like I if I want to be a celebrity I should go to this event.
That's just it. Like you will
be
famous, like the man.
If I want to be famous, you know, I'll
there
go to
go.
So I can tell you this. So TKS Mantis's first year when he showed up, he didn't expect a whole lot.
Right.
And this is where me and him met, was the first year. And he was blown away by not only the outpouring of his own fans that showed up, the fact that he was signing autographs like all day. Mm-hmm. He could not and it was just constant, you know, and he was like, "I can't believe this." He's like, "I could get a big hit from this." And it was just really funny to, you know, to watch his reaction to the fanfare to him, you know, and I'm like,
I mean,
you would have to deal with the same thing. It would be just a constant line around the round.
Probably
room.
Even worse.
Well, that's why I figured, I mean, honestly, a table or a booth of some kind, something like that, it makes sense. Yeah. And I probably will. And I'll just be like, it's cool. Like, I'll do it. I'm going to do it at some point. I'll get to everybody like that. Right. It'll be fun. And so I definitely plan on being there the whole, I think it's just the 2 days, right? It's just going to be a Saturday, Sunday. Yep. Yeah, I'll definitely be there. Both
Friday
days.
And Saturday, actually.
Friday and Saturday. Right.
Yeah. Because Sunday's kind of like, I believe, like the cleanup day, you know, more or less.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense, especially for what will now be 5,000 people, if not more. Like, it's going to be huge this year.
Well, we didn't expect the 3,000+ that we got,
especially with all the new people that you're, all the new fans you'll pick up with the TV show.
I mean, I can remember going to conventions after Nuka Break, like 2013, 2014, dressing up in the Nuka Break outfit because, you know, it was still a Fallout cosplay at the time, and it was again pre Fallout 4, so my stuff looked pretty game accurate for what it was. And I still like some of my favorite interactions are all the same thing, which is you look really similar to that Nuka Break guy. Like, that's a really good cosplay, and I'm like, I know, right? And the moment they hear me talk, they're like, wait. And then before the Fallout stuff, I was a host of a crafting show called Backyard FX.
Right.
A lot of the fans from Nuka Break started actually as fans of Backyard FX. So I'll even get, like, walking through conventions, even to this day, I'll get people like, you look like that guy, Zach Finfrock. And I'll be like, I've heard that. And I'll just keep going.
Things oh, like my
that.
God.
Like last time I went to Disney for my girlfriend's birthday, we were at Disney. First time I had been here, you know, at Disneyland for a couple of years now. And two separate people walked up and were like, are you Zach Finfrock? It was very strange. It was the first time that's happened in a very long time,
oh my
too.
Gosh.
So it was kind of funny. Yeah.
Were you wearing anything Fallout at all?
No, just me. It was just me. In fact, I had a hat on too. And so it was even like, usually the hat is kind of that you can't recognize people in hats.
Some people are really good at recognizing people. I'm not right. one of them. You can totally get away with being incognito with me.
Right, right. I mean, I even have glasses that I would wear, like all this stuff. Yeah, no, nothing.
Well, speaking...
But it hasn't happened in a long time outside of those small events. So yeah, if I do feel like I want to be a little well-known, yeah.
You get some stroke, bro, there, that's for sure.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. If I want to walk away with the biggest ego I've ever had, yeah.
Yeah, your girlfriend might not want you back after that. It's like, go away. I don't have room
I actually
for your
told
head.
Her, we talked about it. I was like, honestly, if you want to see a weird situation where I'm treated as a celebrity, it'll be an event like this, 100%.
Like, you should come to this thing. Yeah.
It's going to be fun. It will be. We'll get free drinks. We'll get, you know, it'll be great.
Watch people make a really big deal out of me.
It's going to be really weird. Truthfully though, I love to talk to people. So it's always been hard for me when it comes to like an event like that where
you don't get away from nobody.
I want to talk to people. I want to mingle. What do you think? You know, this and that. So it's like, I want to have conversations with people. So the fact that people are going to like walk
that's
up and
I
like
do
have
this.
Me sign something and then walk away and someone else will walk up. Like, that's weird for me. I want to be
or
like,
if they do talk, the person behind is going to be like, move along.
Yeah. I want to talk to everybody, but yeah. So it's going to be weird. It's going to be fun. I'm very excited to do, but yes.
You will find out though that the people, I don't know how it is at the conventions, but I do know that at the event, they're very gracious.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know,
yeah.
You know, the fan base in general just seems very gracious, which is something I think we've tried to build
in
into
person,
the culture
at least
yeah. in person yeah you know
yeah well,
there's the whole griefy you know 76 hatred or whatever
not
but
as much as
it's not as bad
is
as it
my
once
favorite
was.
Fallout and I will shout that from the rooftops okay
that's
I love
awesome
76.
I know you've been playing it and I wish you were on PC because that would be a lot of fun but
I will
are
be
you,
I
are you playing on
am
Xbox
going to be playing
man
all of them well I started. No, here's the thing. I am a PlayStation guy myself, and I have over 700 hours on PlayStation on 76, and yet I'm only like level 200 something because I base build like crazy. I'll spend so many hours base building.
You and Sassy can hang out for days.
Here's the thing. When Fallout 4 introduced base building, I was like, it can't get any better than this. The only way it could get better is if there was a co-op mode where I could show my friends the cool things I built.
Right? And you can
and
build
that's
anywhere.
That's what 76 became. It was like 76 is, I can actually show people the cool shit I built.
Yes.
That's not the only reason why I like 76, but it is one of them for sure.
It is definitely one of them.
But yeah, no, I will praise 76 forever. My PlayStation, though, is starting to overheat and turn off. So I have to get that fixed. So I was like, well, I want to play 7. I don't want to play 4 right now until the update next week. So I can't start 4 because if I start 4 now, the update's going to fuck everything up. And I want to
I'm going to be all mad. You're going to be like, damn it.
Well, I also downloaded.
Start over again.
Well, I also switched to the Xbox for Fallout specifically because of the mods. Because on Xbox, you can actually mod with real new models and textures, whereas on the PlayStation, you can't.
Right.
PlayStation's very limited in that regard.
It's strange. I'm not sure why they don't want to include new stuff like that in a mature rated game already. I don't get it. It's what,
yeah,
and even
no
then,
external assets.
There's no porn or weird stuff on the Xbox mods. It's not like they're allowing that over there. So it's whatever. But there is a Nuka Breaker mod for Fallout 4 available on the Xbox. And I'm like, oh, that's incredible. I want to play it. I want to use that.
Well, sure.
And then the moment I download, literally the day I download that mod and I'm about to stream that run where I can get the Nuka Breaker in Fallout 4 and have so much fun, they drop the announcement of the next gen. And I was like, well, shit, I can't start now. Otherwise, it'll break that mod and I have to do a whole ever. So I have to wait. Yeah. So I decided to play 76 on the Xbox and because I have Game Pass. So I was going to just play it through Game Pass. And then they made it free if you have Prime. They made it free on Xbox and PC to add to your accounts. So I have added the PlayStation or the PC version. So I will be playing the PC version as well. I just don't have a good gaming rig yet. My plan right now I just got a new job. So my new job is going to help fund a new computer, which I actually need for the new job anyway.
And everybody so buy him a computer. Just buy him a computer.
You see, like, once you start playing on PC and you see what you can do on PC, you're like, console.
I PC game, I've got 600 something. No, that's too many. I'll say 400 games on Steam. Like, I've definitely played. I was on PC for a while, too. Like, I'm a gamer across the board. You know, I've owned most consoles. I won't say I owned every single one of them, but I own most of them. I have VR too. I have everything from, I started with the Vive. Wow. I now have the Quest 2. I don't have anything past the Quest 2 because I haven't had money. They're all really expensive.
Everything but comes down to money. Gamer, it's really sad.
For sure. For sure. I just want
I'm paying for braces right now. So updated. Like thinking about money makes my head hurt.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah. Well, that is awesome.
Wow, I just killed that right there.
Well, right.
Well, I said braces and everybody started thinking about kids.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have kids personally. That's just the trajectory me and my girlfriend have decided for that's mm-hmm. best for us. That definitely does give me the privilege to mm-hmm. put money into things like video games and
it sure does.
Goofy fan films and things like that. So don't get me wrong. I understand the difference for sure. I understand that I would not be anywhere in the capacity to do what I'm doing right now if I had kids.
Yeah.
So we had talked about the time period passing between, right. you know, the original fan films and then the web series and
sure.
now. And we're also talking about, you know, making a splash and meeting people. But the truth is, there are a lot of people, current Fallout fans in the last maybe 8 years, who might not know what Nuka Break was, Nuka sure. Breaking. So in your outreach, in getting out there, there are a couple aspects of this. First, there's the people who did remember. Did you guys already talk about the genesis of the current Nuka Breaking project and not some yet. Of what...
Zach,
let's talk about that then. Sure. What inspired you to come back and do Nuka Breaking? Where did that come right. from?
I mean, truthfully, it came from the Fallout community helping me out in a really tough spot. Essentially, what happened was last year, in October, I lost my job that I had at the time, which was an apparel designer for Hot Topic. And I did that for over 2 years. I was doing just drawing awesome stuff for Hot Topic. I loved it. I did some really cool Studio Ghibli stuff. I did stuff for Disney and Marvel, and it was great. I loved it. But from the very beginning, I was labeled as a temporary apparel artist officially. And that was for 2.5 years. I don't know at what point you're now no longer temporary, but apparently right. it's still over when 2 years long.
Contract work has no actual contract length. Right. Yes.
Technically. Exactly. Yeah.
So and technically I had officially been employed through a temp agency, even though I never interacted with the temp agency. I only ever directly interacted with the people at Hot Topic. So in the end, we all know where the story goes. It goes to, we can let these people go without having to pay for mm-hmm. unemployment. We didn't have to pay for benefits the whole time. So there's a reason why they did it. Whatever. I still had fun doing it because I got paid consistently to draw really cool things. Yeah. It just ended abruptly in the end. It just ended with zero heads up. So I had to essentially scramble. I had to find how I was going to pay rent in the end, because I got let go in the beginning of October and they didn't even get me to the end of the month to, you know, find something. They just were going to be done on Friday. And I was like, what? Okay. So, October went by, the rest of October, I couldn't find anything. It's very tough out there, as we all know, when it comes to just general white collar work, you know, office work, you know, not non blue collar work. And I, you know, going into November, same thing. It just nothing. No, you're not able to find full-time normal work.
A lot of us have been in that position occasionally. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what happened was I posted a joke tweet about having headaches all the time. It wasn't necessarily true, but the joke was to show my glasses at the time. My glasses were very scratched up and old. They were a pair that I got literally a decade ago in 2014. So I haven't been able to, because I'm poor, I haven't been able to get them fixed. So the whole thing was like, you know, why am I waking with headaches all the time? And then, you know, my glasses, and I took a photo of like showing us
what they were. Look at these.
Yeah, look at why I have headaches all the time, you know. anyway, so the what happened was like a couple days later, a week later, Kenny reached out, you know, Chad, all that, the Fallout stuff, Kenny.
Kenneth, thank you.
And yeah, he reached out through DMs. We had never directly spoken before that. Obviously, I'd followed him on Twitter for a while. I'm, you know, I at the time followed him and a couple other of the Fallout, you know, content creators. Mm-hmm. And I think because maybe he commented on a Nuka Break post back like years before, and I was just like, follow, that's fine. But yeah, he reached out and asked if I had gotten my glasses fixed. And then I just gave him the spiel, same as I just told you guys, lost my job, you know, looking for work. It sucks. I don't know what I'm going to do.
And he can do magical things for people.
Well, he suggested I ask for help. He was like, well, have you ever thought about a GoFundMe? And yes, I mean, who doesn't when they need money? Think about crowdfunding it, sure.
But you don't want to ask people. Well, there are concerns.
Exactly. There's, there's the... there's the egotistical or pride or whatever you want to call it when it comes to, in general, publicly asking for help. That's shitty and difficult. It shouldn't be, but socially we've been programmed to not want to ask for help in that way, in that capacity. So there's part of that. Plus, I didn't have the reach that I did back in the day on the internet, my tweets, my videos, my whatever. Nothing, you know, I'm getting one or two likes, I'm getting 200 views, you know, it's not like it used to be, which is fine. I didn't continue making content the same way after everything that happened at Wayside and me getting doing different jobs. And I started to essentially just fall into doing stuff for other companies or other people instead of my own persona, my own public whatever. So I get it, you know. People forget, they fall out, they unfollow, or the people who were following me no longer use those social medias or whatever. You know, it happens.
You're already talking to the right guy, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's well, here's the thing. He suggested it in the sense that I essentially put on the GoFundMe, Zach of Nuka Break needs help. And then he would help share that within the Fallout community. Obviously, he doesn't have a small number of followers. His followers are in the tens of thousands on his Twitter. So I was like, okay, why not? Because at the very least, I'll get a couple $100 that'll pay for groceries while I continue to look for a job to pay rent.
Right.
And then in 2 days, I got all the money I needed to pay not just the back rent, but the next month's rent. It was like 65-70 people donated, and that was enough to get me about $3,500, which is what I needed at the time. And a lot of the comments, a lot of the positive stuff that I got from that experience was people just saying, hey, we really like Nuka Break, and I'm happy to help you out right now when you need it. And it was like a very extremely humbling and extremely heartwarming time where I realized there's a group of people, like I'm literally getting emotional right now talking about it. There's a group of people out there who remembered what I did and liked it enough and wanted to support me even now, even though I haven't been doing it.
It's a bit of a give back moment and a touchstone to know that, people haven't forgotten. Yeah, you're doing other things, but this art you created, this project you put so much of yourself into, people remember. That's what even with all the time, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's extremely wonderful. It still is incredible in the end. And so from there, I decided, well, there's obviously a small group at this point, but there's a group of people who want to support me as an artist and to, you know, to do more of my stuff, not get a job doing it for somebody else again.
All right.
So I decided to kind of channel that into Patreon. And opening a Patreon, starting that. I do have a Patreon. It's been lacking in its updates in the last couple of months because I've been focused on this stuff. But luckily, everyone who's on the Patreon, they're aware of it. They're fine. Like, everybody's been super nice. I will be swinging back into the Patreon stuff after the short film's done, for sure. And all the behind-the-scenes stuff I'm going to release will only be on the Patreon. So I will be putting stuff up there for those.
The regular Patreon is geared more towards props and such, or what's that one?
Well, the Patreon's just for me as an artist, for across the board.
Okay. And what is that Patreon?
Yeah, plug that, because I didn't know you had a Patreon.
I believe it's just Zach Finfrock. If you look
you
it up on
know
Patreon,
this, my
and
man.
If not, it's our well, it's yeah. this thing. Once I put it on my link tree, I forget about which exactly.
It's on your
it
link
is.
Tree. Okay,
it awesome. Is on my link tree. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I will be putting a lot it. More as soon as I get back into actually doing art again too, because again, I've been so focused on all this. Even my original art hasn't been. I haven't been able to focus on it yet. But yeah, I'll be getting back. So anyway, I opened up the idea of a Patreon, and I say the idea of it because it's still new in the end. It's still right. a couple things. Sorry, I just realized I'm getting texts about tomorrow's production, and I have to text back real quick.
That's okay.
Absolutely. Do that, man. You should.
And I was just, the artist at a phone work. Call from
we do a lot of shooting from the hip around here, buddy.
We do.
It's crazy.
We do.
Way.
We're not exactly, I mean, we're very professional podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
That never gets derailed ever.
No. Right? No.
Okay. I think
never. Jessica can attest that we stay on the tracks all the time, right?
Yes. She knows.
Absolutely.
We're like
you
the,
do.
The
just look at Jax's studio. My goodness.
Exactly,
right?
That's a professional
this one's
thing.
This one sexy studio.
Okay. We're good. So I did the Patreon, and in the Patreon announcement, I did announce that essentially what I'd like to do is start doing a lot of fan made content again, like I used
Love
to
it.
Do back in the day. And yeah. That is actually technically what I've always done, even after Fallout and after Wayside. I still was doing fan content. It just was for companies. I did a True. Lot of fan content for Loot Crate. I did a lot of fan content for my own production company called Zap Entertainment for a little bit in between things. And then when I got the job for 2.5 years, I was doing YouTube videos for Sonic the Hedgehog for a company called Eisenberg. That I was literally going back and forth. I was making YouTube videos for Sonic and things like that. My dog is dressed up as Sonic the Hedgehog in a video on their YouTube channel.
Have you thought about the animated elements? Like doing like an animated shorts?
I am not an animator. I'm an illustrator for sure, but I don't know the basics on animation.
Goodness.
I can do like a digital comic, like where they kind of have like motion comics where like
so,
it's a flat panel moving, but that's the extent of my animation.
There's an element that you could utilize because you do write, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you could do the writing element, and then you can go to Casting Call Club and you can actually petition inside the Casting Call Club for an animator.
True. I mean, yeah. I've looked into like Fiverr. I've looked into the idea of like working with, and I actually know a couple of animators.
I'm sure you have
in
contacts.
General. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's more, you know, I have ideas for cartoons for days, for sure. You know,
yeah,
I could do
that's
that
what
too.
I'm saying. It's like, I could see the wheels turning, and I'm like, right, you know, you can right. utilize I mean, so for, many different elements.
Right. I moved to LA to be an actor, to make things with my friends. So if I can do live action, I will.
Right.
So the point of the Patreon was kind of like an all across the board, supporting me to do drawing stuff, to do gaming stuff, to do fan films again. I personally want to do a Ghostbuster fan film. I want to do a Death Stranding
fan film.
That would
be so much
fun.
That would be cool.
I want to do, like, there's worlds I definitely want to do more fan films of. And so if I can be known as the professional fan who does cool stuff like that, sure. Yeah, why not?
What a great place to be. So yeah. this GoFundMe is coming together.
I see a Star Wars thing
right.
coming out
so,
of this somewhere.
So essentially what happened is I've got a Jedi short that we want to do, that I want to do for sure. So no, we did I did the Patreon, right? I did the Patreon stuff, and then that essentially led into I was up in the air about wanting to do a GoFundMe directly for a fan film, for two reasons. One, because there is the new TV show coming out, and that was was a big deal before we started production on Breaking, and that means Amazon has the license to live action Fallout or whatever production company is behind it, but I believe it is Amazon in the end.
Ultimately, yeah.
And they have 100% potential to do a cease and desist. They can and could do that still.
More likely than it may have been in the past, yes.
I don't think
oh, yeah. I mean, and well, just, technically, other fan films have come out
right.
since
right.
the TV show. Like, there's Deadweight, right? That just dropped. Yep. That is a great short. I love that short. And like they did such a good job. And they did it, but they didn't crowdfund. They just did their short and then put it online. So I and not just the Amazon side of it, but now before it was ZeniMax and Bethesda, now it's Microsoft. And that's also a very
changed
big,
a few things.
Very
yes.
different. Yeah. Yeah, that's a very different presence when it comes to who owns and is making money off of Fallout now. So there's also there was also the potential of Microsoft saying, no, you can't do this.
Try to do something with a Halo name.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So it's, you know, I was iffy about it. And yet Ken was the guy to say, I don't think you should be worried about it.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know. I think I should be. And he's
certain
like,
disclaimers and things with trademark that, you know, I mean, we have to be careful whenever you're doing anything, you know, professionally where money is involved that infringes on that IP or the trademark. There are things you definitely have to avoid and the things you have to worry about. But
And well, I learned from my experience of doing Nuka Break that essentially, I mean, what happened with Nuka Break is the first original fan film was $2,000 of our own money. Mm-hmm. And then that was it. We put the short online. It did really well. We actually had a sit down with Sam Raimi's production company after the original fan film came out because they were sourcing internet talent for other things. Yeah, it was really cool. It was cool to meet not Sam Raimi, but all of his people. and he had a Spider-Man like statue in his office. And I took a photo next to it. Anyway, so
cool.
Yeah, that was like the coolest thing that came out of the fan film is that meet. And then, but never anything from Bethesda, never anything from them publicly or privately. It was just, they didn't give us a cease and desist. They didn't tell us to take it down. We make a very blatant point to tell everyone this is a fan-made thing.
You do.
In the very beginning. So, and we did for the web series too, fan-made, not related. Like, and I will again for Breaking say, this is a fan-made thing. It's not official. And essentially what happened is with season one of the web series, we went to Indiegogo. We asked for $20,000, 20,000, because we thought that's enough to do what we've written. And we got $60,000 because people wanted us to do a lot and they saw the original fan film. So we were like, incredible. That's great. We have more money than we thought. That is one of the reasons why we were able to afford Doug Jones and the Eastwood set and things like that. Because
and that hat alone, I mean, raised the bar.
Oh, yeah. That was at least $1,000 alone right there. Yeah.
Right.
So we got a decent chunk for that first web series, for the first season. And then when we did the same thing, we went to Kickstarter for the second season. Because at the time, Kickstarter had essentially secured itself as the most secure or safe or like professional version of a crowdfunding, the most trustworthy, even though they all still work and operate the same. And so we did that and we asked for $60,000 because that's what we got for season one. So we figured we'll ask for that again and go from there. And we got about $130,000 in the end.
Wow.
And that also incredible, didn't expect it. But what happened different this time compared to the other times is the day we passed $100,000 and we were like at $101,000 for season two. I got a phone call from Pete Hines directly, who at the time was the VP of marketing at Bethesda and obviously went even higher up in the chain before retiring last year. But to get a call, because at that point, I knew who he was because I knew who Todd Howard was. I knew who Pete Hine was. I knew, you know the big players at Bethesda at that point. So to see, and this was also back when caller ID still showed the name of the number. So I remember like seeing Pete Hine show up on the phone. And I'm like, what? And it was an immediate stomach drop. Like, this is it. This is him saying,
you're done.
We're going to send you a cease and desist. You can't do that. And instead I say instead because obviously we did it. He was extremely nice on the phone. He essentially confirmed that Bethesda likes it but can't publicly support it. So they won't shut us down as long as we don't make a profit. We can't sell DVDs and t-shirts after. He says anything that's a perk on the crowdfund is fine. But after that, we can't set up a shop that sells it on DVD or anything like that. We never planned to. It was like we already understood we can't make a profit off of a property we don't own. Otherwise, we're going to risk any and all types of cease and desist.
Exactly.
With that knowledge, essentially, that's how I'm playing this one in the end. I don't plan on making a profit on it. I can't make merch. I can't sell things after the fact. So I think, I mean, that really, that and talking to Ken and his, like, you shouldn't be worried. I was like, okay, we'll do a crowdfund for this new short. You know, in the end, I only asked for $5,000 to $7,500 because the story we wrote was simple and I figured we could get it. And technically, if that's all we got, I definitely could have filmed a version of what we have, not as good as what we were able to do still. But even then, this is the smallest production outside of the original fan film from 2010, 2011. This is like second only by the fact that it's got better props and costumes. But even then, it's a smaller crew. It's me and like two other people for the majority of the shooting. We're not filming on like a cinematic red camera. We're just filming on a like a Sony little small cam. Yeah, a lot's changed technically, you know, when it comes to visual, like, you know, so we don't need
You get better. Yeah, you've got better tech now.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot, you know, it's really, really cool to see the support. It's been truly insane to see how many people have come out. Like we're past we're somewhere like 320 donors, and we're less than 1,000 away from $25,000 right now. And technically $25,000 was my last stretch goal that I haven't figured out what that stretch goal is yet, only because I didn't think we'd get to 25 in the end. Truly, I'm very happy, but my confidence of hitting this far past our original goal, I was not expecting. Again, I'm very excited that that is what has happened. I think what the stretch goal will end up being is a post-credit sequence that I can now, with the additional funds, if we do hit 25, I can take the time to take some footage that we filmed and essentially create a post-credit sequence that then will also open up for more.
Right.
And that, I mean, just like all the other stretch goals, is only possible from the little extra bit of money we got, because now I can put that towards visual effects or put that toward, because the idea we have for a post-credit sequence requires part of what we're going to film tomorrow, as well as part of footage we already shot getting edited with visual effects to make it work. So, I mean, it's going to be fun, and I definitely plan on doing more. This vault suit is not a one fan film vault suit. This is a multiple fan film vault
built
suit.
Built to last. Good
yeah,
deal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, do you have any original projects in mind?
Yes, but nothing super concrete. I think if I do an original thing after this, it would be more in a webcomic or comic book type of vein. I have ideas and characters for original content that way. And that actually I would lean more on the Patreon for in general.
Right.
I might crowdfund a version of that once the actual product exists a little more in tangibility. But truthfully, if my 2024 is multiple Fallout short films, I'm happy with that in the end. Like I have no problem. I'm not aiming for a web series right now. I don't want to do a multiple, you know, I want these shorts to be short films, something that you could sit down for 15, 20 minutes, enjoy. And that's the chunk of story. If, you know, we do more than this one after the fact, yeah, they will continue the journey and not necessarily be linked or anything, but they will, you know, it will be a continuation in the end. But yeah, and maybe, who knows, maybe then we'll start to see more returning characters.
Cool.
It all depends.
Did you have a lot of experience before you did Nuka Break with costumes? I mean, like your props and designing and...
Sort of. I mean, through Backyard Effects, we did that. We did about 35, almost 40 episodes for that web series, Backyard Effects, the tutorial series, DIY prop building, things like that. And when I say 40 episodes, that's an episode a week for almost... I was going to say it's only 52 weeks in a year, so that's less than a year, but the show itself lasted, I did the show for about 2 years in total. Mm-hmm. So obviously not every single week there's a new episode, but it was more, I think it was every, the first 3 weeks were episodes, and then the last week of every month was a fan submitted like episode. So technically 3 episodes a week or a month, either way, a lot, it was a lot of work. Because it was also just mostly me doing 90% of the prop builds by myself with a camera over my shoulder, and then a couple buddies helping film some hosting stuff. And then, you know, it gets all edited together. So I definitely have the experience with the prop building. And that's why, like, I built the iBot in the original fan film. All of the costumes were me putting things together. I bought a mummy mask appliance that was used as the ghoul makeup. That's what we use, as a mummy mask, painted green like a ghoul. And that's why he has a nose in the original fan film, because that's the nose on the mask. We didn't want to cut or do anything crazy. And that's why, obviously, when we sculpted a new mask for the web series that is accurate to a ghoul, that's when we did the nose thing for sure. But yeah, so it wasn't the costume stuff wasn't super crazy. Actually, you know what? In fact, hang on. I'm not gonna be able to hear you when I take these out. Just heads up. I have over here. This is the original vault suit. And, you know, in the end, this vault suit is just a Dickies jumpsuit. Like, right. It's nothing special, right? It's just, you know, it even has the tag and stuff. And this 10 is just me hand sewing a cut up yellow t-shirt onto this. Same thing, cutting, like, I cut up, like, you can literally see up close, it's the collar of the t-shirt cut out and then just...
I used duct tape for my kids when I was doing, they wanted to do vault suits. I used duct tape, yellow duct tape, like, for the lines. Yeah.
The collar of the vault suit itself is just the actual normal collar folded in on itself and sewn in on the inside. So it just becomes that small collar. So it really is just that. Like, it really is nothing else than just an old jumpsuit. And so, having Katie have the ability to make me a lore accurate vault suit out of nothing, out of materials we went to Joann Fabrics to buy, is a dream, because now not only did she do the original work on our original series, but now since then she's worked on The Mandalorian. She worked on Bill and Ted. No, she worked on Mandalorian. She worked on Mel Brooks's History of the World Part Two. She worked on The Boys. But so she's currently working on one of the newer Marvel movies. I can't technically say which one, but it is one of the superhero ones. And so when I reached out to her, I was like, hey, I need some costumes. I'm doing a new Fallout thing. I'd love to work with you again. And she was like, oh, I'd love to, but I'm really busy right now. I'm not just working on this new movie stuff, but I'm working on a wedding dress for somebody else. So she was just slammed. She was like, I can't do costumes for you. I'm sorry. And I was like, technically, I just need the one costume made. I just need a vault suit. And I sent her pictures of the Fallout 4 vault suit, as well as all of the screenshots from the Fallout TV show that have been released of Lucy in her vault suit.
Right.
As well as whatever other behind the scenes vault suit photos that were out there. And I got a response like in 15 minutes where she was like, wait, that looks super fun to make. I'll definitely be able to do that. And so, when we were getting the fabric, she was like geeking out about the little like ribbings and all the little details and how the leathers, like, you know, the layers and all this stuff. So she got really excited about it, which is great. She did an incredible job. It took her like 2.5 weeks. And, you know, putting it on as for the fitting and taking it home, I put it on and it was great, but it was like brand new. It's bright blue, not dirty. Everything
had to go slide in the dirt
clean.
For a while in it.
And it looked like the vault suits in the show. They looked clean, right. It looked nice. And from there, it was just kind of like, I brought it home. And so all the distressing on it, all the holes, all the gunk, everything on it, I did.
Tearing it up after she made it?
I actually streamed it during the stream. So I was like, because I want to do a lot, but it was genuinely like, I felt like I was painting over a painting, over a masterpiece already. It definitely felt weird. But at the same time, it wouldn't make any sense for it to look brand new by any means. No. And I feel like I keep going to the wrong side. We found a very, why is it so dark all of a sudden? Oh, because it's dark out now. You can actually see it here. This is shiny. It's a shiny gold. the gold in the video games is like metallic shiny. Mm-hmm. And then the TV show, they almost went with like a matte glittery shine. So we found that this is a spandex that is actually right the perfect middle ground between the TV show's version of their yellow and the game's like super reflective, like metallic version. So I think we actually got a little more game accurate than the TV show. Just saying. But yeah, I'm very like the whole across the board, all the props are 3D printed. So they match directly the models of the game. Or like in my case, I remade the Nuka Breaker to not just update it to match the bottle, but I added lights in this one. And it is now more lore accurate than the first Nuka Breaker, because the first Nuka Breaker I made using photographs of it from the game, but not like all of them, because technically the only thing that had been out at the time was the announcement of the Gunrunner's Arsenal DLC for New Vegas. When they announced it, they showed a picture of a guy holding the Nuka Breaker, and that was of it. And I took a leap of faith to I didn't assume, but I hoped that that was a reference to Nuka Break. And I was telling everybody, I was like, that has to be, it has to be. And they're like, why? Why would it be? They have Nuka-Cola stuff all over Fallout. Why would it be a reference to the show?
But the Nuka Breaker. Well,
here's the thing. Here's the difference. It was before we knew the name of it, too. We didn't know it was going to be called the Nuka Breaker. They just showed the photo of a guy holding this sign that said, take a Nuka Break. And that is a phrase in the Fallout universe prior to Nuka Break the Short. In fact, that's where the Nuka Break name comes from, because of their term, take a Nuka Break. And there are billboards all over Fallout 3 that show that phrase, take a Nuka Break.
Right.
But that billboard does not exist in New Vegas. There is not a single billboard in New Vegas that is a Nuka-Cola, take a Nuka Break. So when they added a take a Nuka Break to New Vegas, I was like, the only reason is because we made a short film called Nuka Break. So they're adding it for us. And everyone was like, that's a leap. That's too much. And I'm like, and I say everyone as in the rest of the
your
crew,
friends,
the actors. I was the only one who was like, no, that's for us. So we, in season one, when Twig sees the shop and knows Nuka-Cola's in there, he sees it because he sees the Nuka Breaker as an actual sign outside the shop, which in season one is just a CGI addition that we were not planning to do. We did it in post because we saw the screenshot. So we had somebody take that screenshot, make a 3D model best they could based on that one screenshot, and then we put it in that one shot of there it is. And then after season one, it was then inevitably confirmed that it is a reference to us by one of the devs.
I love that.
Which is great. And that was all I needed. Great. Cool. And then so we built it for season two. But even then, when we built it, it was before the DLC came out. So we still only went off that one screenshot. So it's now this one is actually more game accurate in the sense of how the pole is connected to the sign and all this stuff. Little changes, but if you were to look between the two, you'd see big changes in reality. Yeah.
That's great.
It's all about
game accuracy. I love that you added lights to it. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I had to for this one. Now that L wire is a thing. Because it wasn't 10 years ago. That wasn't like a cosplay thing. It wasn't like a thing to just go to a store and buy or buy online.
Right. Yeah.
So now that it is, it's beneficial for me now.
Exactly.
So have you done other fan films in the last couple of years? We talked about some of the other work you've done for other people. Have you still been doing films? Obviously videos. You mentioned Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right.
Any original story films of that sort?
No.
So,
I would say the majority of the stuff I've done over the last 10 years since Nuka Break and stuff like that, while it has been fan-made content of like, it's like for Loot Crate, a big chunk of what we did for Loot Crate was fan film type stuff. We did a Firefly short called The Verse that, in my opinion, is Firefly the Next Generation type of vibe, where it's the same universe. It's just a new crew and a new ship, you know? That's how we wrote it. It still technically, in my opinion, is one of the better Firefly fan films out there. Even Nathan Fillion retweeted it saying it was so well done. So I'm like, that's all
beautiful.
I need. But even then, like, it was still a commercial for Loot Crate in the end. Like,
but that's, so Twig is your original character. You're both the actor and the writer for him. So, and people with their OCs, artists of different kinds, writers, all that, they kind of take on a life. So even though it had been 10 years and you hadn't done another story with Twig in between, have the continuing adventures of Twig been going on in your head? How hard was it to think about where he may have gotten to and ended up after 10 years?
You know, truthfully, it's one of those things where if anyone had ever asked me up until, you know, December, January, recently, if they would have asked me about Fallout or Nuka Break or anything like that, I would have just said, we told the story we wanted to tell. It's good. I've moved on, just like most people. That a lot of that had to do with the Wayside stuff that happened. But ultimately, in the end, I just was like, just like before, I'm like, I'm ready to do other things.
Yep.
It was partially because of the TV show and the hype built around that. And then obviously the success of the crowdfunding for my rent that helped, you know, build the hype to me to actually do a new one.
Seeing the love from the fans kind of brought it back.
And so seeing, you know, and so really that's, it's only been recently where I've considered what has happened over the last 10
back into that headspace.
And, you know, so I did essentially at the end of the crowdfunding for my rent, me, everyone helping me, I drew a quick little drawing of Twig Cheers with a newer Nuka-Cola bottle. And I put the sign on his back, you know, as if he's had it on him. And I put some scars on his head. And
it's kind of fantastic, Zach. That was a fantastic illustration.
So I was just, you know, I just did a fun, and, but overall his armor was still sort of the armor from the end of season two. It wasn't this version, this updated version that I have now, but it was just something I was goofy. Like, sure, if Twig was still around, he'd definitely be beat up. And we definitely went from assault rifle to pistol to melee by the end. So he was definitely a melee fighter at the end of the series. And that was really the extent of it. I was like, that's, you know, the closest I'll get to the next version of Twig. Until I realized I want to do another.
But now you have that story.
And so it was really, I think the choices we made for his look kind of do a little bit of that informing of where he's been, like what he's been through, but not to the point where it's 100% like that's a Deathclaw scratch or that's a blob. Like, we don't know what gave him the scars on the face. In fact, technically, based on how the scars are, they're two different incidents that gave him his facial scars. It wasn't all the same incident. The scars up here on the forehead and crossing into the eyebrow are one thing. And then the, across the nose and across the cheek is technically a different thing.
Which you have appliances then, for.
Yeah, separate appliances. But like the reason, the lore, I don't have one yet.
you don't even have a backstory for your own look?
I have. Well, here's the thing. I have ideas. I have vague ideas. I think ultimately what it's going to and supposed to get across is, even though he has these scars, he's obviously still alive. He's not like he survived them. And that should be another indication of the luck side of Twig and how incredibly lucky he is that he's got slashed on his head and face twice and both times didn't lose his eye. Something, you know.
Tried.
So exactly. So the idea that you know, and ultimately it's half me keeping a promise, a half promise, because it's not the full promise. It's a half promise to Saoirse, who played Ben. She's transitioned. She no longer goes as Aaron, she goes as Saoirse. I promised her that if I ever did another Fallout thing, that I'd go full makeup. Because she had to go through that. I was like, don't worry. If I ever do something else, I'll go full makeup. It's fine. It's fine. So it's a half promise to, in that way, where I was like, well, I have to have some makeup. I have to do something.
You have to.
But obviously, Twig is not ghoulified either, so I wasn't going to go that far. So really, it just came down to wanting, without having to share a backstory, without having to bring up, you know, and talk about the last 15 years ad nauseum instead of the one story we want to show, we picked to do things like that visual, where it's implied a lot of shit's gone down. And,
right. You know, the look tell the story.
Right. And kind of the way the makeup works now, it goes into the hair, so it looks like the scar goes past here, and it looks so cool. I love it.
It does.
Well, he's a little bit West Coast Moira Brown and indomitable. Right. You know what I mean? Keeps coming back up again.
Exactly. I mean, but his whole thing obviously was always having
nobody's going to come through the wasteland unscathed.
Exactly. I mean, not just the weight loss, which was just me physically normally losing weight over the last 10, 15 years. But the idea that, you know, he's a scrappier version of himself. He's, you know, I've been through stuff, but the reason ultimately the reason why he has the scars is because he's melee for the majority of what he does.
Yeah.
He's carrying around the Nuka Breaker after that. Like he left season two, Walking to the Sunset without it. And at some point picked it up again or found another one. I haven't decided, but either way, you know, it fits in mostly because it's the cool weapon from the game that I definitely want to put into my short film.
And that's the only reason you need.
So I know we can't keep Zach forever. I'm here as a guest too. I had one more question myself about the name, if it hasn't been covered. Nuka Breaking.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's part of me, has Twig become eco-conscious? Because I saw you're drinking from that polycarbonate bottle anymore. Is he still going to smash his Nuka bottles when he's done?
Okay, well, to be fair, so I definitely, you know, we got the glass ones for sure. Like, I'm going to be using the glass ones. But it is more, I actually have, let's see if I can, I don't know where they are. We do have some 3D printed bottles, like resin printed bottles that we could technically toss around. I'm not as worried about the actual glass ones. Breaking, it's kind of a twofold thing. It's one, because of Fallout Nuka Break. So there is somewhat of a crossover to the name. It's similar. But also, it should resemble the kind of theme that's happening a little bit here. You know, there's, without getting into true plot type of, you know, details or spoiling anything, the narrative that we are sharing and telling in this with Twig is at, you know, he's at a breaking point, not the breaking point, not end of the rope type of, you know, everything's over, but there's definitely, again, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's definitely a theme you'll see throughout this that in the end does get resolved. Like, it is, I'm not going to say it's a sad ending. It's a happy ending in my opinion. But it also, hopefully the goal is to show, how the wasteland can affect people. Really, it's how somebody who can be naive and super optimistic and super hopeful of people and the world and all this stuff, how something like that over time can really affect you. And you know, especially somebody who went into that world with the handicap of a Pip-Boy and exiting the story we told in Nuka Break without one.
Right.
So, you know, what has his life been for the last 10 years? Just like everybody else, you know, but now having to actually live like everyone else without that type of handicap, you know, how does that affect you psychologically and things like that? So, you know, I will say the trailer's pretty ominous to some degree, but Twig himself is just essentially no longer naive. He's still the same guy. He still wants to be hopeful and wants to be optimistic, but actively understands how the world works now, you know, in the end.
I like that. I think that's...
Switching it up. I want people to go, Zach can actually act? Oh, that's cool.
I think we saw that Zach could act in the first one.
It was a little goofier back. It was a little hammy back then, for sure.
It was very Fallout.
True. Yeah. I mean, that was our goal the whole time, but I get why people, I cringe at my own acting all the time though. So that's just me.
doesn't everybody.
Even
though?
in this new stuff, I'm like.
Isn't it great being your own editing and deciding, you know, best take?
Right.
But at the same time, having to watch over and over again, I'm sure. But cool. Exactly. I was really curious about the name Breaking. I assumed the connection, but I wasn't sure if there's something further. Right. So that's neat that it refers to kind of the psychological, not necessarily state, but predicament that a person finds themselves in after all this time.
Right. Right.
Happy-go-lucky, optimistic, but dealing with reality now, which I'm sure, you know, we all have as time goes on.
Well, especially for an optimistic person, I feel like maybe those negative people in the wasteland are probably have it a little easier because they're like, well, of course this happened because that's what I expected. Whereas the optimistic person is like, no, this wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, and that's you're kind of talking about the difference between 10 years ago Twig and present day Twig. Twig nowadays,
right,
he gets it. Even though he wants things to be different and right, and tries to do certain things still, you know, in a certain way, still tries to be an honorable person, mm-hmm, totally, essentially no longer sees black and white. It's all gray to him at this point.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I definitely, there are points where we do tease a little bit of his past. We don't get into details, but it is talked about for sure. And there is hopefully a good understanding and mood shift into why Twig doesn't like to talk about his past. And that, like I said earlier, has to do with what happens when you're the luckiest person in the room when something bad happens. You know, you get to experience that and walk away from it when no one else does. And
collateral damage.
The kind of open-ended, what has he been doing for the last 10 years? And, you know, how does that affect somebody when they are the only one to walk away from certain situations or unscathed or whatever? You know, either way, that's kind of been his thing. Even through the original web series, mm-hmm, he was super lucky, everything. But he got shot, fell down a cliff, and yet still survived and all this stuff. So, yeah, so that's part of it, too, because it's one thing in the greater story of Nuka Break to have him be naive and lucky, but to really put the plot idea of somebody who is that lucky, mm-hmm, how does that affect 10 years of events to somebody? You know, how does it change you as a person when you realize you're still alive when everybody else or everything you've been through has been not great? You know, that's the wasteland. It's also Fallout too, same.
It is. But I could see that leading to some lonely moments.
Yeah. I mean, there's also the question of, you know, and I mean this, I'm saying this because I haven't decided yet, I'll be honest. You know, why is he alone? Is it a choice or is it a circumstantial because of what's happened over the last, who knows? You know, that's also sort of the stuff I'm leaving kind of for interpretation for how people want to take it based on the story we're telling.
Excellent. That's really cool. So you're back to doing this. You're also streaming now, a streaming progress update, stuff you're doing along the way, some gameplay. You joined us for the C3 convention. You did some streaming for that and stuff. Is that something that's going to be continuing for you too?
Yeah. Especially when it's paying my internet bill. but no, I mean, really though, I didn't expect people to, I shouldn't be surprised, I guess, is the best way to put it. But I genuinely didn't expect people to want to watch me play games. I am playing Fallout for one thing. So obviously there is that crossover. There is people who knew me from Nuka Break who want to watch me play Fallout. I get that. And that is mostly what's going on in the sense of the audience. And it has actually is actively become something that because it's helping me pay bills right now, especially since I just got a new job literally like this week. So it has been helpful, extremely helpful, but also super fun. And I say that because up until this point, whenever I would stream, I'd have people in a chat, sure, but one or two people, you know, and they're chatting every 15, 20 minutes. So I'm like, you know, there's no real engagement, you know, it's just playing a game, talking out loud and getting one or two comments every once in a while. But now I have an active chat, and that's a very different experience for streaming because it's a constant, like I'm having a full conversation with 5-10 people and playing the game and they're react, like it's
you're
so
building
fun.
A community.
I'm loving it. It's so much fun.
When that gets going, it becomes a very give and take, and it's really fulfilling. So I'm glad. So you're having a lot of fun with it as well as benefiting. That's great. So that will continue most likely.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. Time. In fact, I was thinking, should I stream tonight? But I still got to paint this guy and put things together. So no, I won't be streaming tonight. But
you gotta shoot tomorrow.
I definitely will be filming or streaming pretty frequently from this point forward. I am really looking forward to both the 76 update that's coming with the map extension, as well as the next gen update for 4. I'm going to be on that immediately. The problem is the mods are going to take forever to catch up. When it comes to working with it.
Yeah.
And so my real question is, do I want to start a fresh next gen run for the sake of it being next gen and looking pretty and moving better or whatever? Or do I wait until the mods get fixed and use like the Nuka Breaker mod in Fallout 4
May not be that long. It may not be that long, especially on console. I mean, we'll see.
It really comes down to how quickly the modders want to update their stuff.
They actually said that PC players probably won't notice much difference. It's mostly for the consoles.
True. This next gen update doesn't really affect a PC when the PC's always been able to kind of keep up with
It'll affect them in terms of mod dependencies and such. You know, there is that. There's less mod dependencies on console, which is good. You know, but the new native application, how much won't jive? It's funny, but I imagine that unless they bring in the whole new creations, which doesn't sound like, because they're talking about the new pieces as being Creation Club, not creations.
Right.
I have a feeling without bringing that in, it may actually be the most seamless on PlayStation. I don't know, but because there are no external assets, I'm not doing as much. Yeah.
Right. PlayStation should be the best one. Yeah. But at the same time, I want to play with the Nuka Breaker, so I'll play it on Xbox. I'll wait.
Absolutely.
Or truthfully, next month, I more than likely will be able to do it on PC. So I'll be able to do the Nuka Breaker mod regardless. So, yeah.
Well, and I'm hoping that that means that, that Fallout London won't be, you know, they won't be that delayed then.
Hopefully.
Because I was really looking forward to playing that next
time. Honestly, I have a feeling they're delayed on purpose just because of the...
Well, they're doing it to make sure that they're compatible. Yeah, they don't want to release their mod and then have it break with the update.
It's so interesting because, like, we know for a fact people got hired at Bethesda to work on Fallout games from the London team.
Yeah, they brought Stephanie over and several other members of the team.
For them to announce...
Why didn't they tell them...
That's what I mean. For them to announce the next gen update that like 2 days after the already had been announced for over a month,
they knew when they were going to release. It's like they could have given them a heads up and been like, "Guys, hold off." Like
that's so weird.
The team was fully aware that you know the date. There was a big chance of it being right near the launch of the show, and like, there was a good chance of it changing.
Oh, true. Yeah. But still,
they had to have known. At least nobody could have given the show a heads up.
They would have had like a week to fix it before their launch if it did come out when the show came out.
Right.
But yeah, 2 days after the announced, it was weird. But anyway, I definitely plan to stream in for sure. I love doing it. Really, it's a lot of fun. I used to stream drawing art all the time, and I probably will go back to that as well as part of, like once a week I'll do an art stream or something.
Yeah.
But it really is it's very clear that the Fallout gameplay is what brings in people wanting to watch me play, which is at first was worried, not necessarily a negative way, but being kind of pigeonholed as the Fallout guy, the Fallout whatever. But now I'm like,
why not?
Let's do it.
I
will be a Fallout content creator. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Because you can do plenty outside of it still. It's not like going to be typecast. It's just, it's nice to have a niche.
Plus, again, I'm very fortunate and privileged to have the pseudo foundation fans from Nuka Break to come in and help me kind of kick off this second entry into the Fallout community.
Well, we're excited for it.
I'm excited too, for sure.
I bet. Anybody got anything else? We can let this guy go eat dinner.
Have we let Zach say everything you want to say? Anything you wanted to say?
You got any plugs that you want to
follow? Yeah, exactly. Where they should follow you? What you want them to get of this?
Right.
Your email, your Twitter, all that happy horseshit, you know?
Right. Well, honestly, what is it? Linktree/ Zach Finfrock is my link tree. It's all my stuff, all my socials, my YouTube, the GoFundMe for this project. It's all right there. Including my Patreon, it's linktr.ee/ Zach Finfrock, whatever the short version of it is. And you know, I've decided, even though I am working and got a normal job and things like that, my normal job is still in a creative position. I'm still doing what I do. Again, very fortunate for that. My decision that I made when I did the Patreon, as well as starting this fan film, was that I was done doing I'm done making the best thing I've made for other people. Because after Nuka Break, everything I did after Nuka Break, I kept thinking was the best thing I'd done since. And yet no one knew I was the one doing it. It was always Loot Crate. Right. It was Sega. It was Hot Topic. It was whatever. It was that company got the, and I'm not in it for the praise. I'm not in it, you know, for fame or anything like that, but I am in it as an artist for recognition.
Yeah.
I am in it, so people are at the very least aware.
What's your name on it?
I'm the one who did it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, good. There's a couple Sonic YouTube videos that did really well that I did only, that I was the sole person to do them, and yet all the comments are, you know, oh, the Sega team, or this and that, like all this stuff, mm-hmm. when it's just me in That's this me. Apartment filming I with the with toys and stuff. Yeah. So, you know, I think really what my main focus this year in general is to just start doing stuff for myself again, doing things I want to do for me. And that starts with a new Fallout short film.
So glad. I'm
getting
so
your
glad
name
you
out there for whatever
that's,
you do.
That's awesome. I mean, that is not a bad goal.
I mean, I missed out building the Fallout reputation before all of the, you know, South by Southwest and all the screenings, all the stuff for season one of a Fallout TV show. But hey, who knows? Maybe season two, they're not going to do another Philly, but, you know, we'll see.
You're going to be ready.
hopefully. Even if it's just promoting it and talking about it, maybe seeing a screening first episode of season two, you know, that'll be great. Cool. That'd be fun. Oh. So, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for the stream. You guys have a wonderful night, and maybe we can get Zach come and visit us again. Maybe just not necessarily for his podcast or what he's got going on, but just to hang out with us and talk about stupid Fallout stuff.
You know, stupid Fallout stuff. There's no stupid Fallout stuff.
There's plenty.
Oh, there's
of stupid
definitely
Fallout
some
stuff.
Stupid stuff.
Plenty of stupid Fallout.
There's definitely down. Some. I can admit there's plenty. Yeah. I don't want to say plenty. There's some.
See, you could probably play 20 questions with us when we do our game show.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you'll have to join one of our game shows.
Yeah, we'll be doing one of
anytime,
those
anytime, guys. Anytime.
Absolutely.
Family Feud.
All right, guys. Say goodnight.
Thank goodnight. You bye-bye. So much
good night.
For coming.
Thanks bye. So much for inviting me back. Have a great one, y'all.
Thanks, Steph.
This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Hello, Vault Dwellers. Join me, Jaxus, Sassy Lady Roamer, Eric, and the creator, Maverick, as we take topics from the Fallout universe and discuss them with other diverse individuals. We can be found wherever you listen to your podcast. You can follow us on YouTube. You can also find us on Twitter, or X, or whatever you want to call it, using @FalloutRTB. You can send us an email using falloutrtb@gmail.com. Join us. The conversation has already started.